Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "The Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Let me pray for us. Spirit, we just invite you in this space, in this time. We tune our hearts into you and what you want to do tonight. And I pray that you would help us, our hearts, be on board with that, and that you would meet us exactly where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, friends. It's very good to see you all again. I'm going to come this way. Let me just start out by saying I'm going to reference a lot of passages this evening, and they're all really good. So if you have like a writing utensil and maybe something to write on, it would be good to maybe just kind of jot these down. If that's not a thing for you and you don't have that on you, that's okay. We'll post them on the Well Facebook page tomorrow so you can like look more into them later. So last week, we started a new series called Big. And we are stepping back and standing in the majesty of who God is. And we are appreciating God for the vast expanses that is him. So, have you ever gone out on a really clear night and just let yourself get caught up in the beauty of the stars? Yeah. Even guys, maybe you're like, I'm not going to say it like that because it sounds poetic, but maybe occasionally. If you haven't done that recently, you have to do it. I know it's getting cold, but bundle up and get out there and get outside the metropolis that is Ashland, where all the lights are, so you can really see. It's just good for your soul. Anybody seen a meteor shower? Yeah, right? These happen occasionally. A couple years ago, a bunch of friends of mine from seminary and I got in a car and drove to the middle of nowhere until we could really see the stars because there was supposed to be a meteor shower. And we sat on the top of my car and just tried to like watch the entire sky at the same time. You know, I remember like using my peripheral vision like I was on the New York City subway. I mean, I was like, I want to see everything. And occasionally you'd miss one. Ryan Otto was with us and he was like really into this. So every time he'd be like, oh my gosh, did you see that? So if you missed it, you were like, oh crap. And I just remember thinking, I wish I could see the entire sky at once so I didn't miss anything. And this is what we're doing with God. And this is what he is like. So we're saying we want to step back and we want to look at the majesty of who he is. And I love the video that we watched last week where it kept like zooming out exponentially into the universe, because it was a reminder to me that even though I am blown away by the stars that I can see, those are just, you know, the tiniest dot on the map of the universe. And that is true with God. So even everything in his magnitude that we can see, though it's a true representation, is just, you know, the smallest portion of who he is, which is a really great thing because it means he's even better than what we can imagine and what our minds can contain. So each week we are talking about a different attribute of who God is. And this week, we are talking about how God is faithful. So God's loving faithfulness is demonstrated kind of throughout the entire narrative of Scripture. I'm not going to do this any justice, but one of the really strong storylines throughout is that God tries to reestablish a connection with his people, and sometimes even kind of in the form of an official agreement. He says, look, I'm going to do this, and you do this, and then you will be my people, and I will be your God. And phase two is inevitably people kind of decide to go their own way, or they look at what the other nations are doing, and they say, well, those gods seem interesting too, so we're going to try that. And then it starts all over again with God saying, I want to reestablish my relationship with you. And so kind of on and on it goes. There is actually one story in particular in Scripture that kind of illustrates these relational dynamics that are at work here. And it is found in the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea is a book about a man named Hosea, go figure. And it's a picture of what's happening between God and God's people. So Hosea was a prophet, and the role of the prophet was to communicate a message from God to his people. And a lot of times, the way that they did this was they would perform a sign act, which basically means they would act out something physically that demonstrates the message. So, for example, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, once walked around completely naked and without shoes. I really like that scripture, like, tells us that. He was naked and also no shoes. So both of those things were true. And for 3 years, you know, this is not like double dog dare streak across campus. This is like 3 years in front of everybody that you know. And it was to demonstrate that the people that the Israelites were trusting in actually didn't have the refuge they were going to offer. There was a whole message behind it. So this is what God instructs Hosea to do as a sign act. He says, Go marry a promiscuous woman. Interesting plan. And have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So Hosea does that, and then they have 3 children together. And then she leaves him, and she takes up with some other guy. And this is what God says to Hosea then. Go, show love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. And so he goes to bring her back. Now, there's actually a fiction book called Redeeming Love that is kind of an elaboration on this story. And it is, like, the reason that we have the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover, because it looks, like, ridiculous on the front. But I've known guys that, like, duct tape the front so they could, like, secretly take it in public, and it looks like super manly reading or something. But it's an amazing story, and it illustrates this story even more. So it expounds on these ideas. And I love it because in the story Redeeming Love, the woman leaves Hosea lots of times. I mean, like, a lot. And every single time, he goes and he finds her, wherever she is and with whoever she's with, and he seeks to draw her back to himself every time. And he doesn't ever give up on her. So if you read the book of Hosea, you're going to find some really strong, angry language in it. It's kind of shocking, to be honest. And I think it's the language of someone who's been brokenhearted. You're also going to find this response from God to his people. He says things like this. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will betroth you to me forever. Sounds a little bit like marriage vows, right? I will betroth you in righteousness and justice and love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge the Lord. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. Our God is a God of faithfulness to us. Now, okay, your relationship with God is going to be messy at times. It is a relationship. Anyone can attest to relationships being messy sometimes? Yeah. But I want to note 2 things for you on how we relate to God. So part of this is personal life. I'm going to be honest with you. These are things that are born out of my experience. But they're also founded in scripture, so just kind of consider it informed personal advice. So the first one is, we cannot hold God to promises that he actually hasn't made to us. So this is kind of a difficult thing to say and to hear, but it's going to be good for us. He has not promised us that this life is going to be easy or fair. And he has not promised us that we're not going to experience pain. part of the good plan for Jesus' life was being crucified. And a lot of like his initial followers were martyred. So that to say, we will experience some pain and discomfort in this life. But I'll tell you what he has promised us is that he will always, 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 always be with you. You know, he'll say, like, this might not be the easiest thing that's ever happened, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm here with you the entire time. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Okay, second piece of advice from Mallory tonight. We have to accept that he does not have to use our timeline. I know. So God promises Abraham an heir, a son, when Abraham is 75 years old. His promised son is born when Abraham is 100 years old. That's 25 years between the promise and the promise fulfilled. David was anointed king when he was roundabouts 15 years old, and he spent the next 15 years either as a servant or running for his life before he was actually made king. These are the reality. This is the story that we're shown that we get to be a part of. And I'm just going to tell you, too, from my life, that you trying to force God to use your timeline is going to result in heartache. I can tell you more about that sometime, too, if you want to talk to me about it. So even though it may not look the way you want it to, God does promise to finish the good work that he began in you. So we just sang this refrain, you work all things together for my good. And I love that because it's a really, really powerful reminder to us that he is working for good. So here's a couple passages that talk about this. In Philippians 1, Paul says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He also says in Thessalonians, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will finish the good that he has started in your life. Now, okay, sometimes we run into this problem where we can believe something up here, but it's not real to us. We don't feel like it's real to us in our hearts. So you may be thinking, that's all well and good, Mallory, but the promises of God seem kind of far away from me right now, and I'm having kind of a hard time. So that's where I'm at. And I look around, and I don't see the faithfulness of God right now. And to that, I want to say, that's okay. I went on this World Race Mission trip, 11 countries in 11 months, in 2007, and it was awesome. And when I was getting ready to come back from that, I was feeling really good. I just had this year chock full of like really significant life experiences and God doing awesome things. And I also really thought that I had this whole like following Jesus thing figured out. I had arrived. Yeah. So that, by the way, is what pride looks like. And have you ever heard this phrase, pride comes before the fall? That's right. So so I got home from the trip, and I did what everybody does who travels. You, like, come home, and you, like, wave at your family and friends, and then you crash and pass out for about 3 days. And then I woke up and promptly had a nervous breakdown because I'd kind of become this new person when I was traveling, and all my friends from home loved me, but they only kind of knew the old me, so they didn't really know how to treat me. And I was like, not really sure if I know who I am. And then all these things that I thought I had figured out morphed into these massive looming question marks in front of me. And I felt utterly lost, which is really scary. Because when I feel lost, what's underneath that is a lot of fear, because I'm totally freaking out. So I spent most of my time, crying or sleeping and, always questioning, the massive questions of life. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? I just didn't have a lot of peace. Now, before I got back from the trip, I enrolled in seminary because I knew that was what I was going to do next. So I get back, and I've been back for a few weeks, and I'm in this not good place, but I'm getting ready to start classes. So I had to take a spiritual inventory. So they were going to inventory my spirit. I don't know exactly how that works, but it's kind of like, how are you doing in your relationship with God? And they have all these questions, and they're great questions. So I'm working on it, and I'm plugging along, and then I come across this question, and it says, have you ever been disappointed by God? And my first reaction was, what kind of question is that? Who put that? This is a bogus question. I'm emailing John Schultz, someone hacked into your spiritual inventory and put this crazy question in there. Because in my mind, you can't ask that question because God's perfect and he doesn't do stuff like that. So, where is that question coming from? So I didn't answer it, actually. I just kind of left it where it was for, days. But it was how that is. So I came back to it, and I realized why the question was so hard for me to answer. Because my answer was, yeah, right now. I feel lost and scared, and I don't know where he is or what he's doing. And all those promises about, him being with me and having good plans for me seem really far away. And I'm freaking out. So they actually didn't have that response on there, amazingly enough. So I had to click yes and move on. I'm you don't even know how hard that was. So I should email them and put this answer in there. People need to say this. So there's going to be times where, and you might be in this kind of place right now, where you don't feel like God is being faithful. And I'm going to say that that's okay. Because when I was having my identity crisis, this became a regular practice for me. I would show up at my friend's house, sobbing, ring the doorbell, and then start ranting about, I don't know who I am anymore. I'm completely incoherent. All the time I would do this, several times a week, and just completely panicking. And every single time, they would invite me in. They would not laugh at me, although I'm sure they wanted to on the inside. And they would sit with me and give me a coffee and talk to me. And sometimes I would say, I don't know if I can say that God's being faithful to me right now, or I don't see where he's being good in working in this, and I'm freaking out. And they would say to me, I will believe that for you until we're on the other side of this, okay? So don't panic. I believe that God is faithful to you, and I'm going to see you through this. My friends carried me through 100%. So there's this story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, where a paralyzed person would like to see Jesus. The problem is Jesus is teaching in this house, and it's packed out. There's, not room for anyone anywhere. So he kind of feels like he's out of luck. But four of this guy's friends climb on top of the roof of this house, lift their paralyzed friend onto the roof, and then they dig a hole in the roof and lower him to Jesus. Can you, I know if you've heard this before, it's I know that story, but can you imagine that? That's incredible. People are inside, the roof is falling. That's a person. He really wanted to see Jesus, and his friends are incredible. So it's a great story. Jesus heals him, and he, walks away. But I think the other really amazing story in this story is that his friends dug a hole in the roof to get him in front of Jesus. So this is what we do for each other. Tonight, I would like us to do a few things together in response to God's faithfulness to us as a people. So the first thing that I would like us to do is to remember. So this is another huge theme that comes across over and over and over again in Scripture. where, because we can be kind of forgetful people, and every time the people of God start being like, wait a minute, I don't know if I trust you anymore, and I'm kind of freaking out, he says, remember all the other times that I've been faithful. So it's kind of this theme that keeps happening. Just remember where I've been faithful to you before, and that's going to help you trust me now. So we're going to remember, and then our response to God's faithfulness is gratitude. And I know that that sounds like some kind of nice, light, fluffy word, like I'm thankful. But let me just tell you, it is a force to be reckoned with in the spiritual realm. It can soften your heart before the Lord. It can lift heaviness off of you. It can take you from feeling really frustrated to feeling content and at peace. And that is no small feat. Gratitude. So we're going to together be thankful for where God has been faithful to us. And then we're going to carry each other and, you know, and really affirm for people who are here tonight who may be having a hard time that you are surrounded by people who will carry you and who will dig a hole in the roof. So a few weeks ago, we did 50 acts of faithfulness, and that was super cool. And tonight, we're going to do like 150-plus acts of remembrance of where God has been faithful to us. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to take a few moments individually so you can just kind of quiet yourself and try to focus and remember the faithfulness of God. We're going to play some music, so we'll do that. And try to focus in on one thing that God's putting on your heart, one time that he's been really faithful. And then I'm also going to come back and give, we're going to do something else a few minutes after that, but I'll come back and talk to you about that. So let me pray for us, and then I encourage you just to spend some time remembering your story with God and where he has been faithful to you. So Lord, we invite you into this moment with us, and I pray that as we're maybe thinking of different things, or if our minds are actually kind of going blank at first, that's okay. But that you would put something on our minds and in our hearts to say, do you remember this time that I really came through, or that I showed myself faithful in your life? So we quiet ourselves before you, and we listen for you, and we remember you. Present in our lives. And thank you for reminding us of who you are and who you've been to us. Amen. Okay, we're going to do one more thing together tonight. I keep thinking of that song lyric, every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. And I think that's like our natural response. So we are going to share what we're thankful for, how God's been faithful, and how we're thankful for that. And obviously, like, we can't have everybody, like, come up here and share. We would be here until tomorrow. But we are going to break into groups of three with people around you and share with each other what you're thankful for and how God's worked in your life. Now, I have a small group, and I've gotten to know these girls pretty well now. And I know when they're feeling a little uncomfortable with something because they go kind of deer in headlights on me, like this kind of face. And I'm getting a little bit of that, and it's okay. If you, like, have a friend and someone you know and you want them to be in your group and they're not beside you, that's okay. You can, like, go find them. And, you know, we're not doing, like, physics or calculus. It's just, we're just talking about if there's a time where you've seen God in your life. So we're going to share about that and just share what we're thankful for. Listen up. If somebody in your group is having a hard time and they can't say that God is faithful in this moment and they don't see that right now, I would like for your entire group to bring them up to the cross, up to the front, and just lift them up in prayer. And it's not like anybody's getting outed here because you're in a group, so nobody's going to be like, that's the person having a hard time. You're just all going to come up together. And it's symbolic, but it's also really meaningful because it's what you're doing. So you're going to come all up together and you're going to lift your friends up to the Lord. Because I want you to know, if you're having a hard time, that this community will believe in the faithfulness of God for you until you can feel that reality again for yourself. So I'm just going to read a quick psalm about the faithfulness of God, and then we're going to break into groups, and then we'll sing some songs of gratitude and declaring who God is as well after that. Psalm 117, verse 2. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So let's break up, and we'll have a conversation, and maybe some prayer, and then we'll sing together as well.